This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
I think what the Epstein files reveal is a culture where women are only in the room to be exploited or ignored, and that ends up with bad decisions being made. So not only do we need to be thinking primarily of the victims and their bravery in speaking up, which has enabled us to be in a situation where we could pursue justice for those victims, we also need to think about the wider culture which enables, either passively or actively, this kind of behaviour to continue.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Kent Politics Podcast. I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and this is our latest roundup of some of the stories our local democracy reporters Simon Finlay, Robert Boddy and Dan Essen have been working on, covering KCC, Medway Council and our borough and district councils. And I'll be looking at what our MPs have been up to. In Medway, a 469-space multi-storey car park in the centre of Chatham, which is attached to the Pentagon Shopping Centre, is to be demolished and replaced with 100 flats, providing the council receives an allocation of funding in the coming months. The Brook multi-storey was determined to be surplus to requirements in March last year and was to be sold off when a suitable deal came along. So the plan is for Medway Council to contract its independent construction arm, the Medway Development Company, to prepare the site for future redevelopment. But this is only on the condition that the authority is allocated £1.5 million from the government's Brownfield Land Release Fund, as well as Medway Council contributing £400,000 of its own money. The move was given the go-ahead at a cabinet meeting this week. Members said there had been extensive work to see if the loss of the parking spaces would negatively affect the area, and this had found that for the amount of money it would cost to keep the car park maintained, it simply wasn't being used enough to be viable. Not only that, but structural elements of the multi-storey would need significant investment in the next 5 to 10 years. On these grounds, and their argument that the redevelopment would play into the wider regeneration of Chatham, which has seen schemes like the Chatham Waterfront and Mountbatten House developments, and the refurbishment of the Brook Theatre and the creation of the James Williams Healthy Living Centre in the Pentagon, the proposals were approved at Cabinet and will go ahead if Medway Council wins its bid for funding. There was a really significant announcement this week from the government, which will have come as very welcome news to councils up and down the land, not least Kent County Council. The government says it has set aside £5 billion to help local authorities to pay off deficits, or at least 90% of the deficits, created by the soaring cost of providing special educational needs and disability provisions, otherwise known as SEND. KCC currently forecasts a £135 million accumulated deficit, which is currently protected from the normal budget that the council must set annually. If that wasn't the case, practically every local authority would be in danger of going bust, so that's how serious and significant the announcement was. And although the news was broadly but cautiously welcomed by the KCC leadership, it did come with an equally serious and significant caveat. Local councils like KCC have been complaining that the funding it receives from the government for SEND provision simply is not enough for the demands placed on them, particularly around children with high needs. While the deficit may be largely wiped out, the question of funding still remains, and this is what worries local authorities, as the issue will still be there when the government's Local Government Reorganisation, or LGR, comes into force in 2028. KCC Cabinet Member for Education, Councillor Beverly Fordham, acknowledged the announcement lifts a major risk from councils, but she added, "With funding still tightly constrained due to the government freeze on the High Needs Fund from next financial year, we must continue to manage spending carefully within the money provided." She went on, "We've continued to make improvements to SEND services and support and remain firmly committed to improving SEND services so that every child, young person and their family in Kent receives the right support at the right time." However, the Liberal Democrat opposition leader Anthony Hook said, "This debt didn't appear out of nowhere. It is the toxic legacy of years of Conservative mismanagement in Kent, now left in the lap of a Reform UK administration that is showing little change in attitude from the Conservatives." He said the the announcement changes nothing for the thousands of parents in Kent currently fighting for an EHCP or waiting for a suitable school place for their child. Jonathan Carr-West, who is the chief executive of the local government information unit, said the extra funding was good news and a vital step because otherwise the upper tier authorities like KCC would end up going bust. But he sounded a note of caution by saying council finances are still under terrible strain in other ways. Representatives of Freshwater, one of the world's biggest property firms, were called before Thanet District Council for a grilling on Wednesday. They own Arlington House, the distinctive 1960s-built brutalist block which dominates the Margate skyline. The Building Safety Regulator and Thanet District Council have both said that the building is deteriorating and could be a risk to residents and the public from falling concrete, and it has been previously refused a certificate of building safety. Martin Bale, the company's secretary for Freshwater, told councillors that a scaffold would be going up soon and work to refurbish the building should start in the summer. However, the cost of these works will largely be borne by residents in their management fees, and this is expected to be about £40,000 per leaseholder. He did not endear himself to councillors when he said that those who struggle to pay should either take loans or remortgage, and the meeting's chairperson told him many of those flats were unmortgageable due to the expected cost of the work. After more than 2 hours of discussion, the Overview and Scrutiny Committee voted to call them back in future and are hoping for a substantial update on the works to the building in about 9 months. This week it was revealed the major water outage, which left thousands of people in Kent without supplies, cost South East Water nearly £30 million. Company boss David Hinton revealed the figure at a meeting with customers organised by the Consumer Water Council after 24,000 households in Tunbridge Wells were left without access to drinking water for 14 days when problems started at the Pembury Treatment Works back in November. People still had questions after Mr Hinton gave evidence to MPs at an EFRA meeting last month, when his view differed from that of the Water Inspectorate. During that hearing, Mr Hinton said that the coagulant chemical they'd used for 20 years stopped performing as it should, which meant disinfection could potentially be compromised. The inspectorate claimed the problems could have been foreseen, but speaking at the CWC meeting, Mr Hinton said he disagreed, telling the audience, "It's about £20,000 to put an extra piece of coagulant on the site, and this event has cost us nearly £30 million. So if I could have foreseen it, I think we would have spent the £20,000. Fair point. Either way, at the end of last week, six Kent and Sussex MPs signed a joint letter to Environment Secretary Emma Reynolds, warning that vulnerable people could die if the chaos with the water supply is not sorted out quickly. All six, who included Kent MPs Helen Grant, Helen Whateley, Rosie Duffield, Tom Tugendhat and Katie Lamb, along with East Grenstead MP Mims Davis, have called for Mr Hinton to be sacked. They have also asked for a meeting with the minister to discuss ways of trying to stop something like this happening again, and if it does, that it's better handled.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Meanwhile, two Kent MPs have been making their views known on the continuing fallout over the Jeffrey Epstein and Peter Mandelson scandal and how the government should move forward. Here's East Thanet MP Polly Billington.
I think what the Epstein files reveal is a culture where women are only in the room to be exploited or ignored, and that ends up with bad decisions being made. So not only do we need to be thinking primarily of the victims and their bravery in speaking up, which has enabled us to be in a situation where we could pursue justice for those victims, we also need to think about the wider culture which enables, either passively or actively, this kind of behaviour to continue. So I will always be pressing for, in public life, there to be more opportunities for people, for women in particular, to be making decisions, and for men no longer to exclude women out of those places, because if they do that, they're probably going to be making the wrong decisions.
There have been some quite serious calls today for changes at the very top in number 10. What do you think?
There are a lot of women in the Labour Party who are very keen to make sure that Keir Starmer is the best possible Prime Minister he can be. And we offer our services at every opportunity, right now especially, to enable him to be able to revive his prospects and to give us the opportunity to focus on the reason why we are here, which is that the British people gave us a mandate to change this country for the better. And that includes stability, it includes competence, and it includes a fairer society. And those are the things that we all need to be focused on.
Absolutely. You mentioned there the five-year mandate. So you're happy with Sir Keir Starmer staying within his role and getting that support around him?
What I've said is that Keir Starmer should be aware of the fact that he has got the backing and support of a lot of wise and experienced people, particularly women, who are ready to help him ensure that this government is the most successful one it can be.
And here's what Gillingham and Raynham MP Nishabha Khan had to say.
Look, I think we've seen what having chaotic government can do. And we had it under the previous Conservative administration, where it became a huge infighting psychodrama, where people started to be far more concerned with what was happening within the Conservative Party than they were with what needs to be done in the country. And going down that road is not something that I would ever recommend. And I do not think it's the right option. We've got to get things right in government, and we've got to do what we've been elected to do. That's not to say that I don't think there have been some missteps. I do think there have. And I think we just need to recognise those and recognise that we've got to find a way forward and be able to be really honest about what we're here to deliver. But the answer to this is not to fall into some infighting political. That's not right for the country. That's not what my residents are asking for. They want a government that can actually deliver for them. And that's what we just need to be getting on with the job to do. That's not, and I do think that the appointment of Peter Mandelson was a huge, huge misstep and it should never, ever have happened. I'm pleased that the Prime Minister has apologised for that.
I was speaking to Polly Billington earlier on in the week, actually, and she said, look, there are lots of strong, powerful women around the Prime Minister who would be more than happy to advise him moving forward. So would you like to see some more women within the top team coming in as advisors or as MPs in high roles advising the Prime Minister?
Absolutely. We've got such a dearth of talent within, such widespread talent within the number of MPs that we've got, people with huge experience in different backgrounds and, recognition of some of the big, big challenges that we face. And that's one of our strengths, but we've got to use it. So I really hope that the Prime Minister does lean on that, because there are some incredibly brilliant women within the Parliamentary Labour Party who I think could do a very good job and who recognise the challenge that we face out there on the doors. And by that, I mean in people's lives and what it means to be impacted by the cost of living crisis, childcare, all of those big issues that we've got to get right as a government. And I really hope that the Prime Minister leans on their expertise.
And of course, Epstein victims shouldn't be forgotten in all of this either, should they, with political fighting going on?
And that's the one big thing in this, that we have the political infighting or political sort of back and forth between different parties, there's a real, real risk that you forget what the actual issue is here, which are those victims of Epstein, which should never have happened. And throughout all of this, I will say this to any party of any colour, we've really got to start taking seriously how we treat women and girls in this country and how we address violence against women and girls. I'm proud to be part of a government that is doing that, but I think there are lessons that we too need to learn. And I've got some incredible women who sit on the Labour benches that I know of that are campaigning on this in a huge way. But it's just really unfortunate that we're still in this position where women are not taken seriously in this society when it comes to these issues. And I do think that when we look at the Epstein files and the names that are coming out, and what's being said and what's happened and the power that's been in play and the people that were involved, it really shows you how, in the space of wealthy men with a lot of power, how little power women get in society, in this country and wider. We've got to change that. We've got to. So I would say in all of this, we absolutely have to make sure that the Epstein's victims and any victims of sexual violence, sexual harassment are coming first. And that's something that I don't think we've quite got yet.
And lastly, Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin has launched a campaign to finally rid the historic village of Goudhurst of lorries. The main route has some really tight turns and often gets gridlocked, or centuries-old buildings get bashed as lorries try and fail to get around corners. Mr. Martin has already managed to get three major sat-nav companies to update their software to stop HGVs from using Goudhurst. Now he's asking people to photograph any lorries which are still using the route and send them to him so he can approach the haulage companies directly and urge them to encourage their drivers to go another way. Here's what he had to say.
We worked with all the villagers in Goudhurst. We gathered a petition together, and then we also gathered evidence of the signs and how unsuitable it was and previous problems and beachings of lorries, and then put that all together and wrote to all of the sat-nav companies. And the three main ones who produced the base mapping for all of the HGV companies have agreed to mark that road as unsuitable for HGVs, i.e. to update their software to reflect actually what the signs say on the road. And that's been pretty successful. And we've still got a few lorries coming through, but it's many fewer than were before.
And so this is where we get the, I just want to get it right, spot it, snap it, send it campaign. Can you talk me through what that's about?
Yeah, so this is phase two, building on the success of phase one. Spot it, snap it, send it. If anyone in Goudhurst, or anyone happens to be in Goudhurst, sees a lorry, an HGV coming down the high street, or let alone being, you know, beached or damaging something, take a photo on your phone, make sure you get the number plate and the company name, the livery, and then email it to me, mike.martin.mp@parliament.uk, and I'll write to that company and say that it's not acceptable and they should be using the right sat-navs for HGVs, and they've put their lorries through roads that are unsuitable for HGVs. And we've had some success with this approach in other parts of the constituency. So we think that this, coupled with what we did before with the sat-nav companies, is going to finally deal with this problem for Goudhurst.
Is it about holding companies accountable?
Well, it is. I mean, look, there's two ways of looking at it. One is that actually, you know, one of these sat-nav companies was headquartered in Holland, right? So then, you know, they don't know whether the signs on the road or whatever. So part of it is awareness. And I'm grateful to those, you know, sat-nav companies who have responded and said, yes, of course, we'll update our software. I think for others, you know, they might be trying to take a shortcut or whatever. And those, it is just, you know, one of the jobs of an MP is to shine a flashlight on wrongdoing. And that's what we're doing here with the help of everyone in Goudhurst.
Okay, that's it from me for this week. Join us again next week, but until then, you can get all you need to know about politics in Kent at Kent Online. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters, and you can tune in to KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.